is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Week one of college football kicks off tonight. Will the dogs continue to bark like they did in week zero? Plus, they say save the drama for your mama. Unless apparently you're in the NFL. More wide receiver and contract drama on tap. How these players skipping practice has impacted the spread. Needless to say, we got a lot going on as we welcome you into this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. He's got Super Bowl rings. I had a Super Bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch this morning, so you could say we're feeling good. It was excellent, Michael.
Good?
Not quite as sweet as a Super Bowl ring, but the sugar did get me hyped up for the day. How about you? How are you today?
I am great. 21 college games on tap. I mean, we got it going. We're back. We're back. It's so good. We got football all the time, 24/7. You really just have 2 days to watch Murders in the Building or Bad Monkey, which I recommend to anybody who has Apple TV. It's tremendous. Vince Vaughn at his finest hour. I can honestly say that as I critique that. Not that I know anything about television, but it's great. It's awesome. I'm excited. I can't wait. I mean, Robert Saleh at a press conference. Who wouldn't love all this time of the year?
Oh, just wait, Michael. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into all the news of the day. We also have a couple of great guests as well who are going to stop by. Speaking of college football, as you said, get the binge watching out of the way while you can, because we got lots of games on tap tonight. VSIN's own Mike Somich is going to stop by. He's got some best bets for the card today, as well as a little baseball for us. And in hour two, VP of operations here at Circa Resort and Casino, where I am broadcasting from, is going to hop on set with us for the final half hour. We'll get the latest on all things Circa Survivor and Million Contest signups and go behind the counter with him on how things are getting bet. But let's start with some of the news of the day, like these wide receivers that I was talking about in the open of the show. So 53-man rosters are set. Practices are beginning across the National Football League, including in San Francisco yesterday, Michael, where Brandon Ayuk did not show up. Now, he does count to the roster. This is the time where, even though he's been holding in throughout training camp and preseason, he is supposed to be there. John Lynch, even earlier yesterday, said he expected Brandon Ayuk to be there. But here's his reaction when asked about if he wasn't.
Was it communicated to Brandon's camp at any point, say, in the last few weeks, that he would be expected to practice starting?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into our communication again, but, you know, there's... at some point you got to play.
Michael.
Enough already. I mean, like, he's calm. I would be enough. Like, to me, this has gone too far. You know, the rubber has met the road. Either you like the deal, you don't like the deal, and you play in your fifth year, or you go away from the building and we're going to start fining you. Like, there's really, that's all. Like, trying to make people, when does this stop? When do we stop trying to make everybody happy? Oh, come on in. Well, you know, we have a nice buffet line here. You can enjoy lunch. You can enjoy dinner. We'll tape your ankles. We'll do a little conditioning. And, you know, you just keep doing and keep saying no to every contract offer we make you. We are a $9 billion business. At some point, either you play football or go the hell home. It don't matter. Like, the 49ers have outlived Joe Montana. They've outlived Hugh McElhaney. They outlived John Brody. They've outlived all the great stars that have walked through those doors. They're going to outlive Brandon Ayuk. I hate to break the news to you. Life will go on. Like, at some point, Lynch has got to say to the agent, hey, it's either in the building or out. Either he practices or he don't. And if he's hurt and he wants to fake an injury, then let him look at his teammates in the eye and tell them that that's what he's doing. But go ahead, feel free to do it.
Well, and that's the part of it, right? So because he is under contract and he is on the roster, he's been medically cleared. So now the expectation is you're supposed to be out there on the field. He's in the last year of his deal. You either play this out or you try to continue to work out a contract extension, whatever it is. But if you don't and you do hold out, like, they've played nice with you, letting you hold in and not finding you throughout this process. Now this is where the fines are going to happen. This is where a potential suspension can happen. Like, this is a slippery slope that we're going down here, Brandon Ayuk. Let's figure it out and move on. It's unfortunate. And what makes it more unfortunate is it's not just the Brandon Ayuk situation as well. Now we're apparently getting farther down the road with Trent Williams. Here's Kyle Shanahan when talking about preparing without potentially both of these star players.
I'm optimistic that things will work out with Trent. I'm not sitting here knowing what day it'll be. I mean, we're getting close to playing a game, so, like, my mind is completely on preparing for a game without those guys. But yeah, I feel when two sides want to get a deal done, and usually it happens.
Well, that's not what I like to hear, Michael. Going with optimism, but then saying we're preparing to play without these two. And as far as that week one Monday Night Football game goes for San Francisco against the Jets just continue to get bet. We're at 3.5 now.
Yeah. I mean, the betting part market knows it. I mean, this line was open at 6 a long time ago, right? And we thought that was a ridiculous number. Now it's at 3.5. I mean, this thing's going to get to 3 before it goes because nobody has any faith in the 49ers system. They haven't looked good this preseason. They haven't been in sync. You know, we don't know how good they really will be on defense. Have they improved their defensive line? Will Leonard Floyd practice? Remember, Gross, Mattis, and Floyd both have MCL sprains after the last preseason game. Are they going to play? There's a lot of question marks here, I think, about the 49ers, and that's got to be a concern. But let me ask you this, Stormy. Tell me how it's benefited any team by playing nice. When have these hold-ins worked out for the club? Like, at what point does the club say, wait a minute, the rules favor us?
Yep.
Either you come in. I mean, look at the Jets. The Hassan Riddick is still out there. Okay, he's out there. He's collecting a bunch of fines. Now he's not on the team. I don't have to see him. I don't have to deal with him. I don't have to deal with his mood. I don't know what he's going to do. Meanwhile, Chase, oh, I'm playing. No, I'm not playing. The Chase camp was upset about Zach Taylor saying that he was going to come back and play, and they expect him to be in there in week one. So the next day he shows up in a T-shirt. Like, wait a minute. The owners negotiated with the players in the CBA that they have rights in terms of they don't want holdouts. The league doesn't like this. It's bad publicity for everybody. You think Brandon Ayuk looks good through this whole thing?
No, and he's made it all about him all offseason. This started a couple days after the Super Bowl when his girlfriend was putting out on social media, oh, like this could be the last time you see Ayuk in a 49ers uniform. What are we doing? And okay, it's because you go down the road of Ja'Marr Chase, this is not the only spread that has been impacted. The Bengals game now got as high as 10 with the Patriots being an underdog. We're sitting 8.5 right now. And Zach Taylor said on the podium yesterday he had kind of a foot in his mouth situation, admitting when it came to Ja'Marr Chase getting back on the field for practice as well as week one, that he, quote, spoke too quickly. Chase, as you referenced, skips practice yesterday. And Taylor says, we're just going to continue to take it day to day. Chase has only taken place in walkthrough day so far. He has yet to participate in a single 11-on-11 practice, Michael. How significant is this now for Cincinnati?
Well, you know, he says he's not going to need much time, but we all need time. I mean, we all need time to get going. So to me, I think it's just really ridiculous. I think it's really stupid. I mean, look, you got a lot of career. You have Brandon Ayuk not play. You think somebody wants to deal with this guy who acts unreasonable? Chase is a separate story, right? To me, the Chase is he's an elite player. He's one of the top three receivers in the National Football League. Like, I'm not arguing that. I think to me, because the Bengals negotiated with Joe Burrow in his after his third season into his fourth year, that they set precedent on this. And so that's opened the door for Chase to behave the way he does. You pay the price when you do that. And they got to close it. I think they will close it. They want to pay him. But the Ayuk thing is ridiculous. He has such a high opinion of his ability. And the Niners have really, they're as much as fault as this. They're allowing it to keep going because they haven't put a deadline on it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, they say, well, we don't want it to be a contentious situation. Well, now it's gotten worse. Like, you don't have any strength in a negotiation if you just let people walk all over you. You're negotiating unless you want to be Chris Olsen of the Atlanta Falcons, who says yes to everything. Oh, you've had no interceptions in 2 years, AJ Terrell. Sure, I'll make you the second highest paid corner. Why not? Yes. But at some point, you got to say no.
Well, and at this point, Michael, I'm just over it as a fan, so I can't imagine what that must be like in the building. And then you go adding insult to injury, the state of this team right now, when you think, okay, so Ayuk, who knows what's going to happen here? Trent Williams, who knows what's going to happen here? Dre Greenlaw on PUP, Christian McCaffrey dealing with an injury, Ricky Pearsall dealing with an injury, Christian McCaffrey's backup, Elijah Mitchell on IR, he's not going to be available all year. There's a lot of compounding things here that, especially early on in the season for San Francisco, does lead for cause for concern, not only on Monday Night Football, but as we go for the season. That's no reason to me why San Francisco, no surprise rather, why San Francisco has a win total of 11.5 and it's minus 145 to the under. People aren't believing that Brock Purdy is going to be able to distribute the way that he's always been able to with all that's going on right now.
no question. And you know, look, in Billy Walters' book, he talks about the losing Super Bowl team and how he deducts 0.8 points away from the opening line, opening weekend. And that Super Bowl losers are 4-20 4-20 against the spread opening weekend. They're powerful numbers, 24 years of data right there. And what the 49ers we're experiencing with them is really the disease of me. It's what Pat Riley talks about. It's what I said about the Giants when they signed Daniel Jones to that ridiculous deal. The disease of me gets into your locker room. People have an overinflated opinion of what they did to the team and why they won. I mean, look, if the Niners were offering Ayuk, you know, $20 million for 3 years, I would say, you know, that ain't going to – but they're offering him a deal commensurate to DJ Moore, who he's not better than. Like, at what point do you just say enough? We can't sign you. You have an overinflated opinion. And let me say this about Brandon Ayuk. He goes somewhere else. He's not going to be the same player.
No, absolutely not. And you're right. It is. It's an inflated ego here where he thinks that he should be paid like more closer to a CeeDee Lamb, a Justin Jefferson, and what Ja'Marr Chase is going to get versus the people that he is more similar to statistically over his career at this point. So neither here nor there. While, yes, the 49ers do have a tough opener against the Jets, they do at least get Minnesota, the Rams, New England, Arizona to start the season. So maybe they can bank a few wins there regardless of who's out on the field. Speaking of the Patriots, we do have official word on who their starting quarterback is. All of the quarterback battles are settled. And we'll talk about that Jets delusion. Plus, the D in Big D stands for Dak's deal. What else is Jerry saying today? So much to get to.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
So we mentioned the line move in the Patriots-Bengals season opener with the question marks around star wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase. But let's go to the team on the other sideline, Michael, in the New England Patriots, who just this morning, we saw head coach Gerard Mayo officially announce Jacoby Brissett will be the week one starter in New England, which, as we've talked about, is the right thing to do here. Drake May is certainly the future, but Jacoby Brissett was brought in to be the bridge.
Yeah, I think there's no question that until they get this offensive line settled down and going against the Cincinnati Bengal team with multiple fronts, with different blitz formations, with a lot of things that are going to happen way too fast. We make so much out about the production in the preseason. Look, if preseason really mattered for the quarterback, Sam Ellinger would be in the Hall of Fame. I would see his picture here at NFL Films when I walk by. I'll give you a secret, Stormy. I don't see his picture here at NFL Films because he doesn't play in the regular season very well. So I think we make so much about it. You know, I was talking to some people yesterday here. Oh, did you see Caleb Williams? He really looks good in the preseason. He threw 20 passes. He went three drives against the Bengals backups and was three and out. Like, he had a rocky preseason. Now, you wouldn't know that. You would listen to the media tell you he was great because you watch highlights. Highlights have ruined really the evaluation of players because we watch the highlights, we see the great throw, and we think that's the way the game went. When in reality, that's not how the game went. And so the Patriots are doing the right thing. Get their offensive line configured, get some depth, kind of handle that situation and move forward and try to, you know, bring May on. And when they bring May on, they know that they're not going to bench him for the rest of the year. But if you start May and you bench him, oh, now it's a problem.
No question about it, Michael. And like, putting Drake May in as the week one starter, I feel like would damage more than develop, not only because of the offensive line, although I think that's a huge piece of it. Like, Jacoby Brissett, for all intents and purposes, is like a crash dummy out there. We saw even in that last preseason game, that unit had 10 penalties. You have guys running into each other. That's why Jacoby Brissett got hurt in the first place. But you think just big picture about this New England Patriots team where they sit right now, there's the lack of skill position talent that they have. Defensively, that was the thing that saved them to an extent last year, but they don't have Bill Belichick running the show anymore. They don't have Matthew Judon on this roster anymore either. Their win total's 4.5. The expectations are low. So why not give Drake May an opportunity to learn behind the scenes, maybe not crush his confidence early, like we saw with Bryce Young, for example, last season. I think this makes all the sense in the world. The Patriots are a long shot. I mentioned that season win total. They're plus 320 to have the worst record in the NFL this year.
Yeah, I think that's right. Remember last year, of their 14 passing touchdowns, 13 came from tight ends and running backs. They only had one touchdown pass by a wide receiver, and he's no longer on the team in Smith-Schuster. So, look, that means rookies are going to have to play. Kendrick Bourne started out the season. You know, they basically start him out on PUP because he's not ready to go. So you've got K.J. Osborne. You've got Demario Douglas. You've got the young rookie Polk, the young rookie Baker. It's going to be a hard, hard go. And the biggest issue with New England is, and why I'm surprised the line's moving towards them, I know Chase is a factor, but with the line moving towards them, you know, how are they going to protect, right? They've got a hard time. This offensive line, Vernon Love is the left tackle. Now, will they move Michael Owanu back out to right tackle? I don't know. He was too heavy to play there. They played guard all preseason. This is a tackle-poor team, and there's no answers for tackles in after preseason. It's hard to find a tackle at that time of the year.
No question. It's a tough roster and a tough schedule, too, if we want to throw that back up on the screen, Elliot. Week one at the Bengals, week two against Seattle, the Jets, at the 49ers, against the Miami Dolphins, the Texans. This is a schedule that is going to be brutal from top to bottom. Again, win total 4.5. There is a little bit of juice on that over, though, minus 135. They're the longest shot of all the long shots in the NFL from a division standpoint, 25-1 in the AFC East. Okay, now that quarterback situation is settled, as is the one in Pittsburgh, where Mike Tomlin told the team and reporters yesterday Russell Wilson will be the guy. That said, he did acknowledge that packages with Justin Fields were, quote, certainly on the table, and they're open to weaponizing Fields' mobility, while still acknowledging Wilson's the guy, but Justin Fields is going to get in there.
You know, I think, to me, you know, that one, both places are going to play both quarterbacks. I think it's going to be a hockey line in Pittsburgh. I really do. No one's going to win that job permanently. I just don't think they have a quarterback. It's a hockey line where they're going to just keep rotating them in. And I think if Fields can come in and give them some loose plays, that certainly will help. But, you know, and then when you look at New England, we know once they make the move, it's going to be Drake May's job for the remainder of the season. Whereas Pittsburgh, I think it's just going to be a hockey line all year long.
That said, who do you think starts a game first, Justin Fields or Drake May?
Oh, I think Drake May will start before Justin Fields. Okay. I don't think Wilson will play bad enough to get benched. He won't play good enough to win, but he's not going to play bad enough. I think Mike Tomlin's scared to death of Justin Fields turning the ball over and losing the game. And that's a feeling. When you have that feeling as a coach or an executive, it's hard to shake it. Like, you don't want to lose the game.
Heard that. Season win total for the Pittsburgh Steelers, 8.5. We know Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. Could this be the year? Many think, with the challenging schedule, particularly on the back end of the season, this could be indeed. Let's go back to a little contracts. I know how much you love that, but as a former NFL GM, like, your opinions, we need to have them. I'm sorry. I hate that we keep bringing it up, but it's important. And we're going to go back out to Dallas, where, yes, CeeDee Lamb has signed his deal. He's out there on the field. He's ready to go week one. Dak Prescott's out there too, but he's still trying to wheel and deal for a new contract of his own. Jerry Jones said, quote, "It'll remain like it's been," when asked about negotiations with his franchise QB.
Yeah, see, I think there's a huge disconnect between what the media thinks and what people in the industry think about this contract coming up for Dak. Jerry's not scared of free agency. Jerry's not in any rush. I think Jerry's of the mindset, and I wrote this for VSiN Online, is Jerry's of the mindset to see if Dak can prove that he can play better. That I'm not rewarding a guy who throws two pick six in a playoff game with a $60 million contract. Call me foolish, but call me whatever you want. I'm not doing it. Show me you can play well. Show me you're mentally tough. Show me you're willing to overcome the obstacles. I think he's right. I think if I were owning that team, I wouldn't pay Dak either. Again, I'm going to keep asking everybody, tell me where Dak's going. Where's he leaving to? Where's
Michael,
he going to go?
I know we ran through the list yesterday, and I think at the end of the day, you're still just doing it to test the market and see what other teams are willing to give you, right? Like, if you're Dak and you're a free agent,
I agree with that.
You have to. I feel like you have to do that.
I agree with that completely. But when pencil comes to paper, or pen comes to paper, where you got to sign a contract, are you going to go to Pennsylvania and sign with the Steelers and be their quarterback and you don't think Dallas is going to have a better deals tax structure?
Yeah.
I mean, we're listening to, have you listened to the Patriot players after Belichick talked about Taxachusetts? What they're talking about, Keon White was going crazy. I lost all my, I mean, all this money went to the state. Don't think these guys down that locker room don't read the Financial Times. I mean, these guys know tax rates, right? Yeah. They understand it. And so, you know, when you work in a tax-free state like Texas, Florida, Las Vegas, or you have a chance to play in a high-tax state, New Jersey, Massachusetts, California, Oregon, then there's a pro team there, but still, you're going to take the lesser of that, you know, and you're not, that doesn't make you not patriotic. It just makes you look, why do I want to give all my money away? And so the list of teams that are going to go for him, you're right. Jerry's going to have to pay the market. When you do this and you're not scared of free agency, you pay the market. But I think he knows that his market's always going to be better than someone else's.
Speaking of taxes, we've only got about a minute and a half left here, but I want to play this soundbite from Robert Saleh. Nobody paying more fines right now than Hassan Reddick. Here's what Saleh had to say on the situation.
I'm assuming he's in phenomenal shape. You know, like I said, he's a veteran. He knows what he needs to get ready. You know, he's had success in multiple buildings and multiple schemes with multiple coaching staffs. And so he's going to know what he needs to do to be ready for week one. So he still has plenty of time.
Plenty of time. That's news to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Joe Douglas then came out and said he doesn't see a resolution until the player comes in. Well, the player's made it very clear he's not coming in, you know? So, and he's racked up $5 million worth. Like, he's not coming in. If he's missed, one of the things that's interesting about this new CBA is because you get fined for missing preseason games, you lose substantial money for that. Why would you, you know, the regular season, you're not going to blink on that check either. This guy's lost $5 million. He's only due to make 14. I mean, this is the dumbest holdout since Le'Veon Bell.
And but Le'Veon Bell said he regretted it.
I know. And to think that he's going to come in and play right away? Come on, Robert.
He's got plenty of time, though. Joe Douglas also said that he doesn't regret trading for Hassan Reddick. Quote, we're just awaiting his arrival. So when that will be, who knows? We're going to hit the break. We've talked plenty of NFL. We'll talk that topic again a little bit later on. Don't you fret. But when we come back, we're going to turn the page to college football. We have 21 games kicking off week one later on today. Mike Somich is locked and loaded with best bets coming up next. Plus why this Somich tip might help you bet smarter throughout the entire season. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Well, we know the 49ers are near and dear to our girls' heart here, and we have Storm Warning segment coming up. So let's start out in the Bay Area. Trent Williams is going to get a deal done. What would this offense look to you as a 49er fan and someone who's an expert on the team look like without him?
Yeah, Michael, I want to put the Brandon Ayuk situation aside for a little while because I think it's very clear that the more irreplaceable player in all of this is Trent Williams. And like this storm warning is kind of a question to your point. Is this deal going to get done? And if it doesn't, what's this offense going to look like without him, especially early on in the season? Mike Garofolo said yesterday, a resolution isn't close, which is concerning. Even more concerning, Jeremy Fowler reporting that Trent Williams isn't overly stressed. He's taken up golf. Well, I'm glad you're not stressed, Trent, because I sure as hell am. The 49ers should be. I'm just missing the sense of urgency here from the 49ers, Michael. Like, I know we've seen deals in San Francisco go down to the wire, but I'm not trying to see Trent Williams in the owner's box on Monday Night Football against the Jets and see them lose like we saw with Chris Jones last year when Kansas City lost in week one to the Lions. Integral piece to this offense is Trent Williams. We talked about the offensive line a lot earlier this week and how teams can have really great players on the offensive line, but you take that player out, what does it look like with Trent Williams on the field versus without? San Francisco averaged over a yard and a half less per play when Williams was not in a game last year. They also dropped from a 60% pass block win rate to 43, which would have ranked last in the NFL last season. And hell, just look at the last preseason game for San Francisco against the Raiders. How many times did they get hands on Brock Purdy and knock him to the ground? It didn't look good. Michael, we need to get this deal done. And if they don't, you might need to write another book called Football Done Wrong and have me and John Lynch on the cover.
Yeah, I think they're trying. I think they are trying. I think to me, this shouldn't be a hard deal to get done. I do think he didn't want to come to camp. I do think they have time, unlike Hassan Riddick's time. But I think to me, this is the most important. You're right. This one has to get done. All right. Your next warning is.
Wait, can I follow up on that real quickly? How soon? Yeah. How soon? Because this is the thing that keeps bothering me so much about it is that, like, every day we get closer to the season starting and he's not out there, the more difficult it's going to be. And you hear Kyle Shanahan say he's prepping for this season opener without both Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, well, he's got no choice but to, right? I mean, the Ayuk thing's ridiculous. We won't go there.
Thank you.
I do think you have to prepare for what you know, and you know right now they're not there. All right, let's shift to college football. During the first few weeks of college football season, we'll see a plenty of cupcake kind of games. They're payout games.
Oh, yeah.
Teams playing from power conferences, playing against bad teams. The bettor always looks to get into the FCS versus the – what do the bettors look for to get into the FCS matchups versus the FBS?
Yeah, I just would say here, Michael, my warning is – don't count out FCS teams this weekend. And I know last week, for example, Montana State was a favorite against New Mexico, but and they won outright, right? As they should have, even though it got a little bit close down to the wire here. But they're a very good team. I saw a quote from a bookmaker at Twin Spires this morning that said, the public is backing Colorado like it's free money. North Dakota State will be a massive need for us. Well, quite frankly, I like having what the book needs. This line opened 7.5. It's gotten as high as 10. We're seeing 9.5 right now. But I can see this going up closer to game time as well. And as far as FCS teams go, North Dakota State is not your average FCS team. They have been to the FCS playoffs every year since 2010, won 9 national titles in this time. Their quarterback, Cam Miller, is a veteran in his 4th season, and this program is one that prides itself in being built up front. You look at Colorado, yeah, they have a ton of skill position talent. It's outrageous. But what was their problem last year? It was those guys up front. I know that they've tried to retool that offensive line as much as possible, but it's still stuck in my head last year that they ranked 132 of 133 teams in sacks allowed last season. You're retooling that entire group. Same thing on the defensive line. I have concerns about that against a team that is built on that. North Dakota State also is 6-1 straight up and ATS their last 7 games against FBS opponents. Even Coach Prime at Big 12 Media Days stood up there on the podium and said he was mad at his athletic director because they didn't give him a layup to start the season. This is going to be a tough game. And I don't just mean it for North Dakota State either. This storm warning is about FCS teams in general. Last year, we saw four FCS teams beat FBS opponents, 8 in 2022, 12 in 2021. Anybody remember Montana beating then number 20 ranked Washington? How about Jacksonville State beating Florida State? There are some massive spreads out there this weekend, and I would sleep with one eye open if you were laying it with one of these FBS week one teams.
Well, I could not agree more with you. Sleep with one eye open. That might be something that Mario Cristobal might need to do this weekend.
Yes.
Cam Ward at Washington State was sensational last year. He showed flashes. Now he's in Miami. But we know Mario has a way of losing some games. Perhaps he should win. Billy Napier in Gainesville is really, really on the hot seat. But you have a warning for the University of U.
Yeah, so Miami's a 2.5-point favorite right now against Florida in Gainesville. Florida, as you mentioned, Billy Napier, very squarely on the hot seat. They ended last season very poorly, paired with the fact that they have the hardest schedule in all of college football this year. A lot of people are potentially, rightfully so, doubting Florida. That said, I do think Miami should be on upset watch in this spot. And it's not just the Mario Cristobal factor, which does play a role. We know what they've done in terms of recruiting. They're going to be extremely talented. Offense is going to be high powered. There's this expectation for Miami to win, though, that I think could be to their detriment. You mentioned Cam Ward coming over from Washington State. Yes, an extremely talented quarterback, but also known for throwing some pretty questionable passes, especially on the road. This is on Florida's turf. The swamp's going to be rocking. Florida, in fact, has won 34 straight home openers, the longest streak in SEC history and the longest active streak in all of college football. On the other side, I don't think people necessarily give enough credit to Graham Mertz either, who, by the way, is probably in like year 100 of college football. But you know who led the SEC completion percentage last year? It wasn't the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels. It wasn't this year's Heisman Trophy favorite, Carson Beck, or Jalen Milroe, or Jackson Dart. It was Graham Mertz with a 73% completion percentage, best in the SEC, third in the country. I found this interesting as well. Miami pressured opposing quarterbacks on 41% of dropbacks last year. We say pressure bursts pipes. Well, it also makes diamonds, right? And Graham Mertz was a diamond under pressure last year. Averaged 9.1 yards per attempt when pressured, seventh best in the country, had 8 touchdowns to just 1 interception under pressure. He has the bulk of his offensive line back. He's got some weapons. I think his tight end could be a matchup problem against a Miami secondary that's also working in 4 new players on the back end, probably haven't gelled all that well yet when it's only week 1 of the season. I like dogs in week 1. You never know what can happen. And Florida in the swamp has a chance.
Yeah, I agree. They definitely have a chance. I was talking to a friend of mine who watched Florida practice recently, and he said they're better than people think they are. And Graham Mertz is a good player. I think it's all Miami can handle. I think that everybody's discounted Florida, but I think your warning's perfect. Now, you also have given out warnings about wedding season.
Yes.
But I think you have another warning that pertains to college football season and moving of furniture.
I actually don't think that getting married during football season or going to a wedding during football season is as bad as moving during football season, because, you know, you're at a wedding, you can pull the phone out, you can catch scores, whatever it is. Moving during football season is a terrible decision. And as somebody who got the keys to her home on Monday and am balancing not only prepping for our shows, but it's the first week of me back on ESPN doing sideline reporting, managing player calls, coaches calls, while trying to move furniture and set up my water and set up my internet, which, by the way, apparently my neighborhood doesn't even have capabilities for internet. That would have been nice to know yesterday, but it's fine. It's not expensive. It's not taking up my time. I don't need to work out anymore, though, because I'm lifting so many boxes. So at least that's a positive, Michael. But like, this week is driving me insane. Do not move during football season, especially not week 1. I don't know what kind of crack I was smoking when this happened. As somebody who's never done drugs before, apparently something got in the water at my house, because this was insane to do.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's you can't do that. I mean, it's just, look, you want to clear the plate. You want to have everything in order. You don't want to have a lot of confusion going on during football season. You want your Saturdays, you're on the sideline, I'm on my couch, to be relaxed. You want to enjoy it.
It doesn't help that my football game's on a Friday this week, too. We got a short week right out the gate and all this. Michael, this is too much. I actually told my husband, this better be our house for forever, because I don't want to move ever again after this. This was so nightmarish.
Yeah, well, you're going to move again. Let me just break that news to you. You're going to move again. This isn't forever.
Like, nope. Breaking news, the Patriots aren't going to the Super Bowl, and Stormy's going to have to move again.
And there Stormy's not living in this house forever.
All right. On that note, this was fun. Storm warning is always great, Michael. Appreciate you giving me the floor. When we come back from this break, we're going to reset hour two with plenty of NFL news and notes. Get Michael's GM perspective on it all. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Pressing? Yes, I say it's pressing.
This is Palms Pressing 3.
Your mother told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
All right, let's see if Mike Palm can go 2 for 2 today. Had an epic no hyperbole on Follow the Money this morning. And now time for Palm's Pressing 3. Let's go.
And we like to go out in style. All right, Mike, I'm going to go down memory lane again. And you can correct me if, you know, my memory is wrong. But when Bill Belichick turned Matt Patricia, defensive coordinator turned failed head coach, back to defensive coordinator, into an offensive coordinator to tutor Mac Jones, I think if memory serves me correctly, you were generally positive about that move. Of late, when listening to you, you've been somewhat critical of the hiring of Alex Van Pelt to tutor Drake May. Am I correct in that assumption? And if I am, what's the difference?
Well, I wasn't positive. I think Stormy will verify that. I was always concerned about that decision, especially as it related to him coaching the offensive line, which has been the problem the last two seasons in New England. They've had no line coach, whether it's been Matt or Adrian Clem. That has been a disaster. This year, to me, my registering of a complaint towards Alex Van Pelt is simply about Mayo. How do you turn around and run a $9 billion organization and be the head coach and say to everybody, well, you know, I've turned everything over to Alex Van Pelt on the offense. Where's your role? Where's your decision making within it? You can't just do that. You got to be able to have the ability to run the offense and be a head coach and do what you need to do. So, look, Alex Van Pelt, I have nothing against him. He got fired in Cleveland last year, and now he got a battlefield promotion where he's the head coach of a $9 billion. It would be like Xerox saying to some middle manager who's selling computer machines out of the back of his Crown Vic that we're going to make you the president of the European division. That makes no sense at all. It doesn't. Like, I got no problem Alex Van Pelt coaching Drake May, but it's got to be within context. It's got to be how we develop them. And then as a head coach, the assistants work for you. They don't work alongside of you. Do you think Bill Walsh told Bob McKittrick, you just run the line, I don't care? Of course not. Tell me when this works. It never works. So that's where my complaint is. And I think that's been the disrupted. Look, when Josh McDaniels was there, Mac Jones went to the Pro Bowl. He won a playoff. He went to the playoffs. He didn't win the game, but he went to one. And it's been downhill ever since.
Do you think that with all of the assistant coaches that are out there in New England, that there could just be a general too many cooks situation out there?
Well, I mean, first of all, Stormy, that's a great question. And we had a Daily Coach community call yesterday and we talked about it. Mayo's never been a leader before. He's never been a coordinator. He's been an assistant linebacker coach. Now he's in charge of 25 assistant coaches. There's not enough meeting room space in the New England offices to have a staff meeting, which they don't have anyway, because there's no room. And, you know, when Belichick ran it, it was a small, tight, universal group. But to me, it's hard to lead 25 people. It's hard to get all that. I think they're headed for a disaster. I just don't see any positivity. I'm going to make a decision on the quarterback. You know, listen to his talk out of both sides of his mouth. He's trying to make the media happy. Now, he's got a beautiful runway. No one's going to criticize him. He's very friendly with the media, which Belichick wasn't. So he gets a great advantage from there. But I think we know, you know, if the media likes you or the media wants something to be successful, they won't come down as hard on you as if they don't like you. We see that in all fields.
All right, question two, Michael. Reports are that Cam Ward is getting paid $5 million or more for taking his talents from the Palouse to South Beach as a quarterback of the University of Miami. Here's a question in general, not just specifically to Cam Ward, but in general. Will compensation at the collegiate level in any way affect the way pro teams evaluate and draft players?
No question. Now, but here's the real impact, Mike. Here's the real impact. Money like this is going to take rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7 and dilute them. Because what's happening in college is when you're making X amount of dollars and you're going to be a 4th, 5th, or 6th rounder and you're making more than that by staying in school, why wouldn't you stay in school? That, and this draft here was the first draft. We've had COVID drafts, which were horrible. This is the first draft where these late round picks, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th, the Saturday picks are really 150 players are not involved in that draft. So it dilutes the talent pool because those kids stayed in school. And the fact that kids are getting paid in school And, you know, now they don't have to come out early. We're going to get older players, which is better, but we're also going to get guys to stay in school. When before they were saying, look, I got bills to pay. I got to take care of things. I got to go. If I'm a fourth rounder, great. If I'm a sixth rounder, I'll take it. I just got to go earn money. Now they don't have to say that. And you could keep guys in school with this $15 million of player pool that most of these schools are going to have. You're going to be able to give them enough money to where, why not stay in school? Why not hit the frat party on Friday night? Why not have Saturday nights to myself? You know, I'm still an amateur, but I'm playing a pro game.
Yeah, you get money from the university. You still have NIL opportunities. You get a degree if you stay for a certain length of time. There's certainly benefits to it.
Michael, I'm going to call an audible here.
Ooh.
I'm not going to ask question three. Question three is going to be who'd you take in Survivor? We can get to that. I'll leave you time to give a brief answer on that. But you've made a strong case, and I don't know if everyone's listening or wants to listen, about some reasons for regression with the Ravens, including Tucker and his declining stats the last 3 years. Now, longtime defensive line coach Joe D'Alessandris, who took a leave of absence due to a medical issue, passed away. Now, they had hired another D-line coach because they knew he was going to be out an extended period of time. But that's a totally rebuilt defensive line. How impactful will Coach Joe D's death be on them this year?
Well, I think Coach Joe D did a great job, and he had a lot of moving parts. You know, he was going to start at right guard, Rosengarten, who he, I'm sure, was instrumental in being part of the draft, right? And they're changing up their whole offensive line. And then they bring in George Warhop, who was in Cleveland. He's bounced around a lot, but he has no vested in these players. And I know George really well. George is a strong, opinionated guy. And he feels like if I'm coaching the line, I'm entitled to pick who I want to play. I'm entitled to do what I need to do. And that's typically not what happens. I think that's a huge effect. I think it's going to take some time to compensate for the loss of a great line coach. Those things are hard to find. Offensive line coaches are worth their weight in gold, because if they find one young player that's picked in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round, you get a 5 year, you get 4 years out of them at economic value. That's worth a ton. You get one free agent to start it. David Andrews started in the offensive line for us in New England. That's worth $5 million. Somebody should be writing a check to the person who found them to compensate them for that deal. So this is another one of those. This coaching staff losing McDonald, losing Coach D, which is unfortunate, and my sympathy goes out to his family. He had just lost his wife, I think, 6 months earlier. So this has really been a hardship for him. And unfortunately, now George Warhop comes in and doesn't have a feel for the players, doesn't understand their history. He takes over a group, and he's probably saying, wait, I don't think Rosengarten should play here, or Falula should play here, or Linderbaum. You know, it kind of disrupts things. It really does.
All right, we'll get to that question. I'm leaving you a minute and a half, Michael. Life on the line. All you have one entry. You're going to try to get through Survivor and win $12 million. Who are you using in week one?
One entry, Michael. Just one.
I'm going to take Cincy. I'm going to take the home team. I'm going to take the better quarterback. Now, look, I realize they're 0-4 the first 2 weeks of the last 2 years, but they changed how they're playing. They're playing much better defensively. I think that their offensive line will play much better, and I don't see how the Patriots are going to score a lot of points. I think Lou Amarillo will cause some problems for them. I think they'll get the lead, and I think that with Burton, and they still have T. Higgins, I think they'll be fine. Will it be closer than 8.5? I don't know. Would I take the spread? I don't like the Patriots at all. My second choice would be the Chargers.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard, but Michael is not – particularly high on the Raiders. I want to see what this Chargers team looks like a little bit, though. But I think you're right, Michael. If you only have one entry, I know we want to zig when others are zagging and all of that. But if you only have one chance, one opportunity, isn't that where you feel the most confident?
In Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Not really.
I
bet them to win the Super Bowl. I don't want any part of them in this week one.
Me too. This whole week, though, is brutal. Like, I look up and down that week one slate. There's nothing that I just look at and say, oh, I love this matchup. I love this team.
I don't love it at
Monday
all.
Monday morning, know. We're all going to say, why didn't we take that team? That was so obvious.
I don't know how you pick five games against the spread in week one.
Yeah, millions is going to be chaotic, to say the least. I know there are some people, though, that look at the Patriots schedule and just say, I think I'm going to try to fade them as many weeks as I can.
I saw somebody tweet that today. You get your first eight picks in eight weeks by fading the Patriots every week. How many Survivor entries are you going to wind up with?
So I have two already, but I think I'm going to add another one before the deadline.
Michael, thank you. It's been a fun five years. South Point at Circa. Good luck.
Michael, you're the man. Appreciate you as always. Everybody have a great day. Sharp Money and Patrick Maher is coming up after this.